Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Palace Station. On the broadcast today, State Senator Patricia Farley for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. We'll get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program State Senator Patricia Farley. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks for inviting me back.
So the recall efforts by the Republicans to oust you and two other Democratic state senators seemingly has failed to qualify after a court-ordered full review of the signatures submitted. Do you think that the GOP recall pointed at three women has a sexist tint to it?
I most certainly do, mainly just because of the person who was behind it. I think that if you look at it strategically, even if he was successful with all those recalls in November, there was an election coming. Or he said it was actually should have been Christmas time. There would have been another election. And all those seats would have been in play again. And he had no way of controlling the outcome of that election. So what was three seats in what a span of 7 months-ish with no legislative session really going to do for him? Nothing. So and to spend all that money, time, and effort, and then to come into another election, again, without a session being in play, it seemed awfully hatefully targeted, in my opinion.
So for those that are not familiar with what was going on at the time, refresh people's memories of why you stopped being a Republican and decided to caucus with the Democrats.
So I like to think of myself in 2015 as someone who was about compromise and reaching across the aisle. And once I got elected, I may have run as a Republican, and I was a lifelong Republican, but I represented a district that was purple. It was my constituents were Republican, Democrat, and Independents. And I was up there working for all of them. And what happened is it got so political and so hateful is the best word, mainly by the leadership in the Senate at that time, that it was ridiculous. And I didn't think in my mind that running for election and winning meant that all of a sudden I had to participate in activities or conversations or policy that wasn't necessarily good for Nevada, but more aimed at promoting individuals next run for office. So,
can you give us any specific instances of that?
Well, I just, you know, during the 2015 legislature, a lot of the bills and the agenda, a lot of the conversation was this will look good on your next mailer. This will, it may not do anything, it may not actually result in a tangible result to some for somebody, but it'll look good on a mailer. Or, you know, the tax increase.
And the commerce tax.
Yeah, the commerce tax. And just how some different things came about and went down. It was more about, you know, will the governor support me in my next race? You know, I want to get his agenda passed. And so for me, it wasn't about, hey, I was elected to come up here and do a job and to review policy. And that wasn't the, what I felt was the mission of the of that group, even though there's very good people in there. And I shouldn't say that group. It should be more pointed towards the people in the leadership. And so I was vocal. I think everybody knew I was vocal. I didn't follow just because somebody sent me something to say or told me what to say. It wasn't necessarily publicly, and it wasn't the words that were going to come out of my mouth.
Were there others beyond Senator Robeson that concerned you?
Yeah, I didn't really particularly think that. I think he's an oppressive, dominant bully, for lack of better words. I think he's an excellent fundraiser. And so I think people were concerned in that caucus about, I mean, he did a lot of work. He was able to gain a lot of money. And there was nobody else particularly in leadership or in that caucus that was going to take that position. So I think everybody just felt, even though they probably outside or the public earshot would agree with me, they probably aren't going to say anything publicly.
What was the Democrats' response when they realized that you were going to caucus with them?
So it was really funny. So I had a good relationship in 2015. I don't think they thought I was a jerk or a partisan or somebody who wasn't trying to get to compromise or bring forth their ideas. So I had a great relationship with all of them, as I do with many of the people in the Republican caucus, too. So it wasn't that I didn't get along with my own caucus. It was just I got along with people first, right? And then you look at their political alignment and what they're trying to accomplish. And so for me, that was how I approached legislation. So when I called Senator Ford and told him, hey, look, this is what's going on. I can't do this anymore. I initially said I'm going to file as a nonpartisan. I feel like that best defines me. And I guess I'll do my best. If you put me on a committee, great. If not, I'll just run and do my best, you know. And he called me back and said, it would be wrong for me as an elected official to not have you caucus because the benefit of caucusing. And so we would like to extend you an invitation to join us in the caucus. And so I was grateful. Everybody welcomed me in. I never felt like a third wheel or the odd man out or the person people were keeping secrets from. I was welcomed in and I was a part of their caucus.
But they didn't encourage you to run again.
They did.
They did.
Yes. So absolutely.
They would as a Democrat.
As they would have liked to see me run as a Democrat. I did tell and share with many people during the 2017 session that I was not going to run again, that I had made a family commitment to take on my nieces and my nephews who were in foster care. And now two of those children live with me. And so I now have four children, and it was hard to do with two children, much less four, that are all under the age 13 and under. So I just didn't feel like that was the right thing to do for the caucus to run because of the commitment and time that you need to campaign and the commitment and time you need to actually serve.
As you look to the future, when the kids are grown up, do you think that you might want to put a toe back in the water?
I do. So there's a lot that I don't like about the political arena, but there's also the joy of helping people. I can't tell you anything from someone who is sick and is having trouble with their insurance, being able to call the insurance companies and get things resolved, to passing laws that were meaningful. Or helping on a policy. So I think I really have a drive and an internal drive towards public service and community service. And I'm sure I'm going to fill that in between my next political foray. But I absolutely see that there's a real positive influence and impact a good person can make in the political arena. And I probably will come back and try it again.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Patricia Farley after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things. Like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
June 25th, 2018, Nevada's veterans were counting on members of Congress like Jackie Rosen to help their brothers and sisters in arms who still suffer from the ravages of Agent Orange. Rosen missed the vote. She didn't show up. Instead of voting to help our veterans, Jackie Rosen posed for a photo op. Call Congresswoman Jackie Rosen and tell her our vets need her support. This time, show up and vote to help our veterans suffering from the ravages of Agent Orange.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Patricia Farley. Since you're not running for re-election, who are you supporting in the State Senate District 8 race? Democrat Marilyn Dondero Loop or Republican Valerie Weber?
That's a
pointed question.
Very good question. So I know both ladies. I happen to know Marilyn Dondero Loop much better than I know Ms. Weber. And so I have thrown my support behind Ms. Dondero Loop primarily because even when I won the election in 2015, she was my opponent in 2015, the Democrat candidate. The day after, she was helpful. She obviously had represented an assembly district. She knew constituents in there. She knew where different policy pieces had been left off. And so her goal was to be beneficial and helpful to me to continue in office. And so we kind of got together, and I think that she's moderate on a lot of policy issues. I think she's going to be strong on education, and so I believe she'll make a good representative for that district.
Going back to our previous discussion, what did you think about Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison leading the attorneys for the Republican groups pushing for the recalls?
So that's funny. So I actually had the – so I used to consider myself a close friend of Mark Hutchison. I thought he was one of the good people in politics and had a lot of just admiration for him and a sea of people that didn't necessarily meet that standard in my mind. And it was funny, I saw him in the courthouse on the way up, and I did share with him, I never thought I would walk into a room and not hope for his success, that what he was doing was wrong. And I understand that it might be, he might be a lawyer, it might be that he was hired to do something, but at some point, you kind of, he's the lieutenant governor, he was the president of the Senate, it wasn't his space, his proper place to be there, regardless if he was hired to do it or not, in my mind. So I think that that's wrong. I think if we got called back into a special session and he's the president of the Senate, that I mean, now it's just weird. It's very politically divisive. It's wrong in my mind.
Were you surprised that he chose not to run for re-election?
No. I think that anybody who voted for the tax or seemed as part of the tax vote was going to have a very difficult time, and particularly being in a state office, a statewide office, I think it was going to be very hard to get past a primary. So I think it was probably a very smart move on his part.
As you look at the governor's race, are you supporting either of the candidates at this point?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be... From a business perspective, it's going to be Steve Sisolak. I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans for Sisolak, similar to how you saw Republicans for Reid, primarily because Steve is going to be seen as a businessman. He's going to be seen more as a moderate. He's going to be seen as somebody who's not afraid to say no to his own party and maybe move to the moderate middle. I think Laxalt's going to be seen as very conservative, very right-wing, very Trump. And this is a purple state. And so my guess is that Steve Sisolak will win that race handily.
When you look at the Democratic Party, though, there is a split in the Democratic Party. And you're seeing a huge chunk of people moving to the Chris G, Bernie Sanders camp. And Steve Sisolak doesn't fit into that mode.
Yeah, so I think there's a misnomer that and you see it with both parties, right, which is why I'll remain a registered nonpartisan. The base is the 10%, right? Those are the folks that turn out to vote. So you get 20% turnout in the elections 2023, and what you're seeing it is the fraction of the party, the both the really conservative rights and then the Bernie real left folks. And so those are the candidates that are coming out. But in a general election where you get more moderates to vote, you're going to see more of a purple, I think, outcome. It'll be by maybe thousands, of hundreds to thousands of votes that win in these different races. So my thought is you're going to start to see the party start shifting back to the middle. Because hopefully if the moderate middle turns out to vote, it'll be more representative and kind of send the direction that we're not everybody is going right or left to the extreme.
But it's going to be interesting, though, because Adam Laxalt, you know, certainly has aligned himself in a Trumpian way. And, you know, business people, a lot of business people are very supportive of Donald Trump in the business sense, and that seems to be bleeding down to the state level as well with Adam Laxalt.
So I agree. I think that on a national level, there's a way of voting, right? You have an ideology or a position on national. And then when it comes to the state, I think people might start distancing themselves from how they might feel on federal votes. So I really think that in Nevada, you're going to see people not just vote up and down a party line. The business people here, too, also understand. Steve Sisolak understands business. That's what we need. So if you're a business person, you're going to want somebody who is understanding of the economy, what it takes to get businesses here, how do you grow an economy, what's the government's appropriate role, what's too much regulation. And Sisolak knows that. That's not part of Adam Laxalt's background. Business people know that.
Well, okay, I mean, just to play devil's advocate, I mean, certainly with the support of Sheldon Adelson, with the support of Robert Eidhoven, Andy Abood, others, they're not going to leave Adam Laxalt flapping in the wind on these business issues, that's for sure.
But small business people aren't at Sheldon Adelson, so we're the ones that deal with all the regulations and can't afford the lobbyists to make the regulations or give us big contracts, right? So I think the average business owner, small business, middle business guy, the entrepreneur, the sole proprietor, I think they're going to want to go with probably somebody who understands what it means to be them and to run a business and to pay people.
Now, you living based in Southern Nevada, mm-hmm. You've had a lot more exposure to Steve Sisolak than the person in the northern portion of the state. Adam Laxalt has kept a fairly low profile for the most part, except for the publicized cases that he's fought for and certainly the battles he's had with the governor. It's not really as well known as one might expect, but then attorney generals really are. So this election is really going to come down to 30-second sound bites, both by both candidates and by the third-party groups that will either be supporting them or against them. So doesn't that kind of even the playing field in terms of the message that gets out there? Whoever has the best 30-second sound bites wins?
So I think the interesting thing is there's a swell of what we call the Republicans for Sisolak, and it's mostly they're in your base. They're the Republican base who you're going to see turn out for Steve Sisolak. I think you're starting to see it slowly with what happened up in Reno with the folks that sponsored a fundraiser for Steve Sisolak. I think there's a lot of...
That was Roger Norman and Les Gilman, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of chatter on the social media pages with what I would consider the right-wing base for Steve Sisolak. They don't like... Adam Laxalt's new to the state. Adam Laxalt has never run a business. Adam Laxalt didn't do well in his private practice. He picked Michael Roberson, who's basically disliked in the right-wing conservative party. I think there's a lot of things that are going wrong in that campaign that aren't sitting and settling with your conservative Republicans, and so I think you're going to see them go towards a moderate Democrat who they might believe is going to be more balanced.
But as somebody who's served many years on the Clark County Commission, he's only got 2 years left for whatever reason he wasn't elected governor. So 10 years so far, and then his time on the Board of Regents. There are plenty of things that Steve Sisolak has done to irritate a lot of people just by virtue of the fact that if you're in office, you're going to please half the people and irritate the other half. So, I mean, it's not that there's going to be a shortage of issues for the Laxalt campaign to latch on to go after Steve Sisolak on. I mean, and you certainly saw it just in the primary with Chris G. They can just start, you know, pick up there where Chris G left off and go from there.
Yeah, so I agree. And I think that's a risk he knew he was taking. I'm not part of his campaign meetings or discussions. But I think in general, when you kind of wash it all out and look at the high level of stuff and what people are actually listening to and picking up, I think it's going to come down to you watch a debate. I think the best thing Steve Sisolak could do is start debating Adam Laxalt and do it soon and fast, and that'll speak for itself.
I think, you know, speaking from a media standpoint, that the more debates all of these candidates have, the better. There are lots of races where we have hardly heard a peep out of most of the candidates, and it seems to be on a national basis, Democrats in particular are not willing to come onto programs like this and discuss the issues. We've invited Susie Lee innumerable times to be on this program. Danny Tarkanian is always available. She is not. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Susie Lee. She was on the program 2 years ago when she was running. Aaron Ford, we've invited him many times. Even Jason Frierson, who is the speaker and is not running for anything but being speaker again, doesn't have a time. So it's like there's a national movement on the Democratic side to not come out and talk to the media.
So I think, and so I have 4 years.
And by the way, I like all of those people.
Yeah.
So it's nothing personal, and they have a good relationship with me. It's just, it seems like it's a policy of, we don't want to engage the media.
Well, so
and
it's interesting.
Thank you for doing
it. No, I always, well, it was interesting, when I ran, the policy was, if you're winning, be quiet. So I never, the whole entire time I ran, never did a media interview, not once. And so my political background was literally the day they asked me. I wasn't part of political groups. I wasn't part of campaigns. I had never done this before. But they just, the race strategy was, if you're winning, don't talk. Why say something? Why do something? And I was like, okay, right? I think it was after I got elected that I kind of realized, well, I had a responsibility to talk, right? So that was kind of a learning curve of never having running a race, never really have been around the political process. So I was listening to advisors and people that were giving me advice, and so that was it. In my race, I never talked. Matter of fact, people who told me I was probably the first candidate in the history of Nevada to actually win a race like that never spoke to the media.
Well, there have been others. Chick Hecht would be a good example. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Senator Farley after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
My name is Reed. Envy Energy and the PUC sabotaged rooftop solar. They put me out of business. I had to cancel 250 projects and lay off 40 employees. And now, Envy Energy wants to kill energy choice. They want to put profits above clean energy and the 34,000 jobs it will bring.
After the way Envy Energy treated us, sorry, you left us no choice.
Competition means more clean energy jobs. Break up with Envy Energy's monopoly by voting yes on question 3.
Sorry, Envy Energy. It's over.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Patricia Farley. I wanted to ask you about Dennis Hoff.
Oh.
And his likely ascension into the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying we're not going to caucus with him. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think what bothers me is that even I'm on the outside, political outside, because I'm not running again, right?
Which is why your opinion is so valuable.
Yeah. So the interesting thing I saw about that was we all knew that James was struggling, James Oscarson. And James Oscarson is a good man. And we knew he was getting beat up. And so all these people who did not come out and support him or go out and walk and campaign for him, then act surprised that he lost, including Adam Laxalt, who wrote his camp, James Oscarson's campaign, and asked him to remove his name because he was afraid that the voters that would vote for Hoff wouldn't vote for him if he was supporting Oscarson. So there was numbers out early that said James was not, Oscarson, Assemblyman Oscarson was not faring well. And so we knew it. And yet there was no support, there was no, but now there's all this, oh, I can't believe it, right? I'm not going to caucus with him. And the reality is, one, I think that intention and that effort should have been there when Oscarson needed them. And secondly, I think what he does is terrible. That's my personal opinion. You know, if you read how the brothel system is set up, that only basically two people can own these types of businesses. And so these women who participate in this line of work are really controlled. And it's I think it's terrible. And I think it says a lot about Nevada if he actually makes it and sits in our assembly. And that's terrible. Here we are on a national level talking about us having the most, our state, Nevada, having the most women legislatures. And by the way, we have a brothel owner that got elected. It's just a crazy message.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for doing this. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Our thanks to the staff and management of Palace Station for letting us tape our shows here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.